Answering your tough financial questions for the past 21 years, it's Hanson McLean's Money Matters with co-hosts Scott Hanson and Pat McLean.
Hi, this is Scott.
This is Pat.
We've got a great program lined up this week. A gentleman who's got the opportunity to convert a pension into a lump sum. We're seeing this more and more. Does it make sense or does it not make sense?
And we're going to talk about the new tax law, and who doesn't want to stay tuned for that?
Now, boy,
the ins and outs, what it means to you.
We're going to highlight some things, what it means to the average American and the impact it will have. So stick around for Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Want more of Hanson McLean's Money Matters? Visit HansonMcLean.com/radio to get the Money Matters podcast.
Welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean. Thanks for joining us.
Glad you are with us as both myself and my co-host here talk about the world of finance. We are both financial advisors, certified financial planner, chartered financial consultant. We spend our weekdays meeting with people like yourself. We come here on the weekends to be your financial advisors on the air. And glad you are participating in the program today and join along with us. And being the earlier part of the year, well, it was the second weekend or whatever
yes.
in the year, many people pay a little more attention to their financial life as other areas of their life.
New Year's resolution.
Finance is always a big one, right?
Yes.
Weight loss, quit smoking, improve my finance.
Be nicer, read more. How long's this show? Have my children pay more respect.
Well, you can't have resolutions for other people.
I can too.
Oh, you can. Okay. Anyway, this is a financial program, and boy, I tell you, we finished 2017 on such a strong note for investors on almost every category. Kind of
baffling,
bewildering, and we started out 2018 on a strong note for many investment markets.
Pretty low volatility last year as well.
Oh, my. Not pretty low. Unprecedented low.
Well, at lowest levels when they had the volatility index. So they haven't always had a volatility index, but since they've had a volatility index, a considerable amount of time at the lowest levels ever.
But if you look at days where the market has swung, say, 1% or more, on the downside, that's where it's been historical as far as the number of days. And what's interesting, Pat, as the Dow Jones Industrial number has gotten larger,
okay,
one point means less and less as a percentage.
Correct. Because the number's bigger.
Right. So a 100-point swing is not even it's about a third of a percentage point.
Yes. Yeah. It doesn't matter as much.
A 250-point swing should be very commonplace going forward.
Yes.
Because historically, we've had lots of days with 1% swings.
But at least in 2017.
The point is, when that occurs again, and even a 1,000-point drop will not even be a 10% correction.
It will just seem a lot scarier.
That's correct. And if you look
back, the perception will be much different.
Yes, and you're going to hear news people say, Dow falls 700 points. We haven't seen a 700-point decline since whenever.
And it doesn't mean
as noise.
Much. It doesn't mean as much.
Historically, we've had a 10% correction about every 9 months.
And a 20% correction?
About every 3 years.
And
what?
It's been a long time.
It's been a long time. And a 10% correction is going to be a 2,500-point decline off the Dow. Expect it. Not predicting it when it's going to happen.
But if you're not expecting it, then it really will come as a shock to you that the portfolio could actually, that the markets can go down by 10, 20, 30%.
And our experiences of doing this for 20-some-odd years here at Hanson McLean is that people tend to make poor investment decisions when the unexpected happens in their life, when they are surprised by something.
Or what FOMO, which is what we're seeing in Bitcoin, it's called FOMO, fear of missing out, which is I need to get in this now because I don't want to miss out on what everyone else is getting. And it often causes people to make decisions about their money that isn't driven by what they're trying to achieve, but more driven by emotion.
Well, you're seeing that not just in Bitcoin, but in the equity markets as well.
Oh, absolutely.
Because you take someone, let's say they're in retirement, maybe they're 50% of their portfolio is in equities.
And they want to move that up.
And now they're thinking, man, I had good returns, but I could have better returns had I been more in stocks.
Yeah.
And I saw another article that talked about how individual investors had moved whatever the dollar number was, out of equities funds the last couple of years. And I thought, well, that's just going to happen based upon rebalances.
Yes.
If your objective is, say, 60-40 or 50-50 or whatever, as the equity market, yeah, it's going to.
Yeah. As otherwise, if you let a portfolio run, it gets, in an up market, gets progressively more aggressive.
Yeah. So if you had not rebalanced in the last number of years, you're probably a much higher weight. You're definitely much higher weighting stock now than you were, and maybe longer than you would hope to be. So to join the program, if you'd like to be a part of Hanson McLean's Money Matters, our contact number here is 1-888-2-HANSON. Simply call 1-888-2-HANSON. Numerically, it's 1-888-242-6766, and we would be happy to take your call. And let's start off taking calls here in Northern California, talking with Dennis. Dennis, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Hi, Dennis.
Hey, how are you?
We are fantastic. Thank you.
Outstanding. Hey, I am I'm 150% disabled with the VA, 100% with Social Security, 34% with State of California. And I started a 529 on my daughter when she was young. And I'm wondering with all of that, as long as I don't get too crazy, should I be fairly financially secure for the rest of my life?
Well.
What income sources do you have?
So tell us where they're. So it depends. So some of them have bigger cost of living increases on them than others.
Okay. I get about almost $8,000 a month tax-free from those three.
And who do you owe money to?
Just my mortgage.
And what do you owe on your home? What's the outstanding principal amount?
About $350.
And what's the interest rate?
I just had it reduced to 3.375.
That's a great rate.
All right.
And of the $8,000 a month, what percentage comes from the state of California? PERS.
I get about $3,400 from CalPERS.
How old are you?
58.
You're fine.
I did three tours in Iraqi Freedom. I got injured.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
Thank you. You're fine.
You're
fine.
More than fine.
You're fine. You're absolutely fine. How old is your
unless you've got a 25-year-old wife?
No.
Do you?
I'm actually divorced, and I'm not sure if you've heard this statistic, but 80% of veterans who see combat will go through a divorce within 3 years.
That's awful.
Wow.
That is awful.
I was part of that 80%.
Oh, that's awful. How old's your daughter?
11.
You're fine. How much is in their 529 plan?
Almost 50,000.
Wow.
You're a good saver.
And if she goes to a Cal State or a UC University, she gets free tuition.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You're fine. I have a very good friend of mine has two children at, actually one just graduated at a state, one of the Cal Poly schools, for this program. He actually had a prepaid tuition plan in another state years ago, and it's made more sense.
My brother just retired from the military, and he got his son all 4 years paid at Notre Dame University.
Wow, that's impressive. You, my friend,
for free.
I would have no worries about your finances,
Dennis. You, my friend, have done well. On the financial side of it. I mean,
there's nothing to worry about.
You don't need to.
I mean, unless you want to start chartering your own plane or something, then you got a problem. But other than
that. I'm currently suing the VA for malpractice. So you know how long they take to go through. So I should have that money eventually. When I came back from the war and I filed for my claim to the VA, it took 10 years until I got my first check.
Oh, that's awful.
10 years.
That's awful. Well, we read about the VA constantly.
Yeah. Well, Dennis, thank you for your service.
And you're fine with as far as the dollars go.
Yeah,
so
certainly wouldn't worry about the financial side of things. And obviously no one wants to be in a position where they can't work for money. No. I've not talked to anyone who's been happy. You know, even someone had a major settlement from an accident or whatnot. Where they have some health. No, I don't know anyone who would say, I take that back.
Okay, you know someone?
When I was a young man, I had a tree trimming business for a few years when I was going to college. But I worked for a year at another tree trimming company to kind of learn the trade right after high school.
You got to climb the ladder.
Literally, yes, and the tree. There was a guy who, I don't know why I'm telling the story, because I thought it was fascinating at the time, just thinking about it. He was missing one of his fingers. And I asked what happened to his finger, and he purposely put it in the wood chopper to get a financial settlement.
No.
Yep.
Really?
Yep. It was like $3,000 or something he got for his finger. And I remember looking at him. I was 18 years old at the time, and he was a relatively young man, and I remember thinking,
that's crazy.
That's what I thought.
How old was he?
He was young. He was an immigrant, I think.
He didn't introduce him to the Oregon or the black market for Oregon.
Oh, come on. I guess there's that, too, when you're really desperate. But this guy wasn't he was in the United States.
That's terrible.
Why am I telling the story?
I don't know.
It's depressing. I don't know why I'm telling the story. 99.99% of people would not give up their health.
Except for this guy that Scott met.
I don't recall
when
his
you
name.
Were in college.
He was a little different. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, I guess.
Let's go to Mark in Sacramento. Mark, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hello, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Thanks for joining us.
And I have actually two questions. One is I was separated from my employer last summer, and I have a question regarding. Maybe I want you to verify my calculations of lump sum distribution of a pension versus the annuity payments.
Okay. And you've yet to make that decision? Is that correct?
I have not made the decision, but what happens is I realize when I was doing the calculation last summer, and I did it here just last week, and all of a sudden I realized the factor I never included was not so minor detail called the interest rate that they value them.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And all of a sudden, that number that I used last summer is a third bigger. And so based on the numbers I want to give you, I just want to tell you to kind of noodle through my thought process and shoot holes in it.
Let's stop for a second here. Yeah. So for the rest of the listeners, you were trying to perform a net present value calculation of a stream of payments based upon your life expectancy.
Correct.
Right.
So what happens? Sometimes companies, let me just give a little background. We'll offer, instead of a monthly pension, say, hey, we'll give you a chunk of cash today. And I've had people say, well, you should never take the lump sum, but take the pension. And my answer is, it always depends how big the lump sum is. If someone's going to pay you $1,000 a month pension or give you $1 million, obviously take the $1 million. If someone's going to pay you $1,000 pension or give you $20,000, take the $1,000 a month pension, right? So those are obvious two extremes, but when you start calculating the numbers, what we find is people calculate the numbers two different ways. One, they look, all right, here's the lump sum of cash they're going to give me. I need to generate this monthly pension. What return will I need on this chunk of cash to generate that monthly pension? That's one way to look at it.
Which is the wrong way.
Well, it isn't. No, not necessarily for the individual. It's one way to look at it. When determining the value of the pension, it's really by looking at saying, What is your standard life expectancy, according to IRS tables and whatnot, and what kind of interest rate would you need to return to pay you that monthly pension so that by the time you reach the end of your life expectancy, that chunk of cash would be zero.
And
then we factor in a bunch of other lifestyle issues.
Yeah. And then we look at, are you taking a joint and survivor? Does it affect any of your other benefits? Do you have a normal lifestyle or a normal life expectancy? So walk us through your math.
Okay. Well, it sounds, first of all, like I may have used the right approach, hopefully, but my math was when I logged in last week, I saw the lump sum due to the discount rate. When I did the projection last summer, they use a 6.5% rate.
Wow. Well,
of course, it's way lower than that.
Okay.
And I think they put that out in September or so, but the lump sum now is $220,000.
What was it last summer?
164.
Wow. Good thing you didn't take it last summer.
They use 6.5%. Well, boy, isn't it, though?
I don't know how they can use 6.5%.
Well, I don't know why they use such a huge number, but the other question, the thought is, I want to make this decision between now and September because that's going to change again. I think the PBGC puts that out in September, maybe.
Yeah,
in October.
But you know it before. So
you may. It's a monthly rate, but pension plans, some use a monthly rate, some use a quarterly rate, some use an annual rate. So what would be important for you is to be able to determine when they'll use that rate. And it may or may not make sense for you to wait that long.
What company are you comfortable telling us? What company you're retiring from?
It's a company. It's called Xerox Corporation.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
When I call the benefit center, they revalue it based for 12 months every October.
Got it. Okay. So what's the interest rate
they
now?
They use segment 1, 2, and 3. Segment 1 was, and I had to actually do some research on this, and I'm a numbers nerd, so it wasn't that bad. Segment 1 is 1.93, which mm-hmm. I think is the first 5 years of retirement. Segment 2 was 3.57. Segment 3 is 4.36, which I believe is 20 years and out.
So what was the overall interest rate that you used when you recalculated it?
Well,
I used 6.5, and then what was it the second time?
Yeah, well, the second time, I have the actual number. I used their numbers to come up with they gave me the lump sum based
on
the
new segment. And what is that number?
And that number, they used, in other words, their discount rates were the three numbers mm-hmm. I just quoted.
Correct. And the blended rate was what?
What was the blended rate?
They didn't have one.
And you didn't blend the rate?
I didn't see one. I looked for it, but I did not see one.
Are they equally blended?
I don't have that answer.
Okay.
And I'll figure it out. How old are you?
I'm 60.75. Be 61.
And how much is the gross monthly pension?
The monthly pension will be $1,175 with a lump of $220,000.
And what's your life expectancy on your IRS? Are they using the IRS life expectancy table?
Yeah, and I think it's 60. When I'm 60, I believe the life expectancy was, I think they used 83.6 or something.
And are you married,
like
Mark?
And single.
All right, and you have any real health issues at all?
No health issues. I actually looked at my mother died at 85, dad at 70, so I figured that gave me till 77. But I live a much healthier lifestyle, so I'm going for 95.
Well, if you live to 95, you're probably better off taking the monthly pension.
Well, and see, my thought was what I did is I have a drawdown calculator and that you put in the inputs, and I use $220,000. If I took the lump sum, I think I can reasonably use 5% as a long-term annual rate of return, and then I use 0 for an inflation factor because it's a fixed payment. There's no COLA.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And it tells me it's going to run out at about 91 and a half years.
And what other?
I'm 91 and a half years old.
Are you taking a monthly pension right now?
No, I'm not. No.
And would you need this money? Or when will you need this money?
I don't think I'll need it at all. My other assets include about 500, maybe 550K in my IRAs and 401Ks, and then I've got about $700,000 in real estate, which I intend to sell because I think I can get a higher rate of return in the stock market, plus spend down some of the principal.
What do you think you should do on this?
Well, what I think I should do is my gut is telling me I should take the lump sum between now and when they revalue it and take that and invest it. What I would probably do is invest it in an S&P 500 index fund and maybe, 60-40 portfolio, 70-30, maybe I'm not sure, equity portfolio, and with the other 30% being in.
Your statistical chance of you having an investment like that, so let's just even a 60-40, is that you will do north of 5% over the next 30 years.
And
who knows over 1 year, though, right?
And you've got experience investing like that over multiple years, correct?
Oh, I've been doing this for 30 years. Yeah.
And you don't. So here's another way to look at this, Mark. Single, so it's a pretty simple.
It doesn't
formula.
Matter what you do.
Would you take $220,000 out of your savings today, and exchange it for a 5% monthly annuity the rest of your life? And if the answer is yes, then take the monthly annuity. If the answer is no, I don't like that concept. Then take the lump sum.
I don't think so because I think I can do better, and also because I'm fairly conservative anyway. And I think I can do better. I think I've read that 6.7 is the equity projection over the last next 10 years and 3.1 for bonds,
I think. Well, historically, stocks have done about 6% greater than the rate of inflation over historical periods of time. But
what I think I can do is put that in the aforementioned funds. I'm a big fan of, like, Vanguard no-load funds. And I think, and then using that calculator, if I got 5.5 and used a 1% inflation factor, because I know that $1,200 is going to be worth about, 20 years from now, 700 maybe? And I think if I used a 1% inflation, I still get myself out to 90 years old.
Correct.
Well, I think I could do,
And also, don't forget the fact that you don't need the cash today.
That's the big thing. And you've got great experience in this. So you're not going to freak out to a market adjustment, which will happen. And you've been through a couple of them.
I expect it to happen. As an example, when the market tanked in, was it 2009 or something like that, I switched my 401k to all equities for the next 2 years.
See, there you go. You're making the right call.
And this year I was sweating it a little bit until they passed the tax bill. I rebalanced just before that, back to 60-40.
Well, that's good.
All right. Just don't get crazy on the rebalance. You want to stay relatively consistent.
He did.
I understand, but he had actually lowered it, his equity exposure. He actually rebalanced up to 60-40,
correct? It went from
70-30
to 60-40.
No, oh, perfect. You're fine.
I was a little worried about what was going to happen in Washington.
The reality is prices of companies have grown much faster than the underlying earnings of the company. So many people think it's prudent to not being overweighted in equities at this period of time.
Yeah.
So what would happen? Because I still have about $150,000 in cash after I rebalanced. I'm thinking instead of the U.S. market, an international market. I think their price earnings ratios. They're much more reasonable. I think it's 18 or something.
I think it makes sense having a diversified portfolio, global portfolio. I actually think it's less important today than it was 30 years ago, just because what a global economy we're in. But what we always have to pay attention to is the currency fluctuations. And because you could be invested in another part of the world, have a decent investment, but if the dollar is going against you, which happened for much of the last decade, not the last year, but the last decade, then it puts a damper on returns. But I think it's clearly something to be looking into, Mark, and it sounds like you've got some great experience, and I think you'll continue doing research and make the right decision, and I'm glad you called. You know what, Mark? He's a perfect example. I've often said not everyone needs a financial advisor, right?
At his age now, he doesn't need one.
Right. He does the research. He understands. I mean, he's kind of a numbers nerd, knows what he's looking at.
He found his own mistake.
Has a lot of experience historically in investing. Knows and looks back at his own behavior. Is honest with himself and his behavior. I think it was a real important thing to do as an investor.
Yes.
But
he's single.
Not everybody is in Mark's position. And sometimes a concern that we have, and look, there's other great firms out there. I'm not just pushing Hanson McLean's firm, but sometimes people think, the market's doing so well, volatility's low, why do I need a financial advisor? And a financial advisor is not really, their job is not to get you the highest rate of return. It's to help deal with all these sort of issues that occur throughout life.
Yeah, and risk.
And minimizing risk.
And risk. And my point, I said that he's single. If he was married and his wife or partner did not have an interest in this or the aptitude for it, oftentimes we see couples will hire us because, let's face it, the man normally dies first.
That's right.
And so we'll have people in their 70s that have done this their whole life, managed all their money, and say, you know, I don't want my spouse to have to deal with this. And they'll hire us.
So there's a relationship there.
And sometimes
not to be sexist, but still the fact is the majority of men make the investment decisions. Good or bad, it's just we're just talking about reality here.
That's, well, in the age group 65+.
That's correct. 55+.
I'm trying to give it a little bit of room. I don't want to sound... sound sexist because it sounds sexist. But the reality is, and maybe that's not the way the real world is.
If you look at studies, women tend to make better investors than men do.
Yeah, maybe that's not the real world. Maybe that's just our client population. I don't know.
No, you know.
I do know.
Okay, so
the studies tell us that. Although women have a tendency to make better.
I speak at finance classes at universities periodically. 90% men. And I say, where are the women? Where are the women here?
But yeah.
And that's another topic entirely. Hey, we're going to take a break here in a minute. I want to let you all know about, we've got some live workshops coming up.
For men and women.
That's right. This is our first in series. They're both welcome. And decline to state's fine as well.
Yeah, it's fine that's, too.
You know, you don't even have to. We could have several different options.
Decline to state.
This is our first for 2018. In 2017, we had over 4,000 people register for our live events. So they're very popular. They're basically in the evenings and on Saturday workshops. They're 75 minutes, free to attend. And we have our 7 personal decision points for retirement transition. This is really if you are coming close to retirement within the next couple of years, you'll want to attend one of these. And we've got them in the Sacramento region the week of January 22nd, Tuesday through Saturday, Auburn, Sacramento, Roseville, and Rancho Cordova. And we've got it in the greater Denver and Bay Area week, the week of January 29th, again, Wednesday through Saturday, Cherry Creek, Broomfield, Highland Ranch in the Denver region, San Jose, Pleasanton, and Danville in the Bay Area. You can get all the details on that at our website at HansMcLean.com. So to learn more, go to Hans McLean. We're going to take a quick break. Stick around for more Hans McLean's Money Matters.
Do you have a financial question that needs answering? Call us at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON.
Welcome back to Hans McLean's Money Matters. Scott Hansen.
Pat McLean.
If you want to be a caller on our program, love to take your call. 1-888-2-HANSON is the number to join us.
That's 888-242-6766.
Yeah. And I tell you, we'll go back to the calls here in a moment. There's still a lot of talk about the new tax law. I want to highlight just a few things on here.
All right.
I think most of us at this point in time know the changes. Unable to deduct. Actually, we're capped at $10,000 for a married couple for deductions of state and federal income taxes, including property taxes. But our standard deduction
went up significantly.
Doubled significantly. $24,000 a year. They state that they think over 90% of Americans are going to take standard deductions. And if you look at retirees, it's probably even higher than that. Even wealthy retirees, for many, will be higher than that just because the way they're...
It was good for middle income America.
There's no question. Particularly this extended child tax credit.
Yes.
I mean, it can really reduce. There could easily be a married couple at $100,000 a year income with a couple kids that is paying a 5% federal tax rate.
It was good for wealthy people, with the exception of. Possibly the exception of high income states, income tax states.
Yes. It'll be interesting to see what the high income tax states do. Because
the talk about what they're trying to do now is kind of crazy, but like trying to make it
sort of charitable.
Come on,
work.
That won't fly. But, and it was good for some business owners because of the pass through.
Yes.
But that will, listen, when we talk about this stuff, the pass-through thing, you'll wait to see how this thing shakes out. This thing is not, if you're a business owner and your accountant's kind of saying, well, let's wait and see, you want to wait and see.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting, I was reading one thing I talked about, is that when it starts phasing out, it becomes a disincentive for 401k contributions because of the way the tax structure is. Because the phase out, it can temporarily lower someone's marginal tax rate today. So a business owner think, wait a minute, it might not make any sense for me to defer. If I can't defer, why should I bother putting a plan in for my employees?
Yeah. Or creating other companies in order to actually service your own company.
Yes. Like, of course, that's not going to be off. Yeah.
So let's say.
Let the games begin.
Yeah. Let's say I'm a plastic surgeon and I don't get passed through. Maybe I actually start my
professional
own.
Professional services, doctors, lawyers, financial advisors, for example.
I start a marketing company that sells its marketing services to myself, the plastic surgeon, and then it becomes a pass through. Yeah. Let the games begin.
Yeah, there we go.
You'll start seeing these pass through cooperatives too.
All right, so for the average person, here's what I just want to put a couple numbers in mind. All right, so the tax brackets used to be about the first $10,000 of income if you're married, about $5,000 of income if you're singles, taxed at, I'm sorry, $20,000 for married, $10,000 single, taxed at 10%. Then it jumped to 15%. So the majority of Americans were
below 15%.
Yes. The brackets.
The majority of Americans didn't pay any taxes at all.
Well, 47%.
Okay.
All right. The bracket's now at 10%. Then instead of 15, it's 12%. So, and with the doubling of the standard deduction to $24,000, a married couple now can have $100,000 a year in income and be taxed at a 12% rate. $100,000 of income.
That's substantial. That's a couple thousand dollars into their pocket every year.
If you're in that rate, that also, you can have capital gains that aren't going to be taxed at all. So let's say you have $80,000 of income. You can incur $20,000 in capital gain, pushes you up to that. But because you have not exceeded that, no income taxes whatsoever. This is a big planning. This is going to create a big planning area for some capital gain things to look at for those in that, as well as some Roth contribution opportunities. And the rates then jump from 12% to 22%. For the next $80,000 of income, $90,000.
Which is lower than it was?
Top rate begins at $600,000 at 37%.
Which is lower than it was?
There's some other things to pay attention to in there. There's you get some phase out for a couple things here and there. But
if you're worth a lot of money, you would probably want to get an estate gifting plan together.
You mean because you think it's much better now than it will be in the future?
I believe that. In fact, it's set to sunset in 2025, is it?
Yeah. An individual can give $11 million during their lifetime. A married couple now is $22 million without any estate taxes.
Yes. Without gift it, too.
Yeah, and you can gift it.
Right? But it's set to sunset. Yeah, but we'll go back.
Yeah, I mean, if you've got six, you know, a couple $100 million dollars and you're trying to transfer.
Scott, let me tell you the danger and all this stuff to me, and I'm going to go out and say it. This Congress and the president is so squirrely that you want to take advantage of this stuff as quickly as possible.
Because who knows what's coming next?
Exactly.
You think the president's squirrely? His tweets are always so crystal clear.
Well, I'm not going to... It's not just him. It's the Congress. Right. Who's going to be in charge?
Oh, that's the challenge, right? So you're trying to do financial planning, retirement planning. You're looking at your income, looking at your assets, taking advantage of 401ks, Roth IRAs, all these things. Who knows how things are going to get taxed in the future?
Oh, who knows what's going to happen to your Social Security benefit?
All right, let's take some calls here at Hanson McLean to join us. 1-888-2-HANSON is the number. 1-888-2-HANSON. Numerically, it's 888-242-6766. Let's talk to Harry in Northern California. Harry, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hello. Good morning. Thanks for the show. I listen to it fairly frequently.
Thank you.
Weekly, if possible.
Great.
My question is, how long can I pay into the 401k, and when, and how does that affect my MDR when I, get past 70?
So how long can you pay into the 401k and how does it affect your required minimum distribution at age 70 and a half? Are you, I assume you're working now?
Yes, I am.
And how old are you?
70.
Okay. Under current...
actually, 70 and a half.
Okay. Under current rules, the 401k that you currently have with your current employer, number one, you're not required to take required minimum distributions while you're working. Number two, you can continue to make contributions into the plan while you're working. That does not apply to money outside of your employer, so other IRAs or other 401k plans. Under current tax law.
Oh, okay. So I've with my current employer, I've actually got two 401ks. One I'm not actively contributing money to. The other one I am.
But it's through your current employer?
Yes.
So yeah, Harry, so your right. current employer probably sold, changed hands, the company, did it?
No. Well, no, I changed positions.
You had a non, you I had a union one, and then you moved to a management one.
There you go.
Yep. Yes. Got it. I don't know. Well, I know how the rules work. My only concern is, we're Pat and I both looking at you. Our only concern is what reporting there could be, but it's the same employer.
But why can't you just move the one 401k into the new 401k and call it a day? Because you're allowed to move 401ks to 401ks.
It's still the rules. So the spirit of the law is the employer. Our only concern is that because it's a separate 401k plan, you could get a reporting on
that
the
says that you're supposed to take so. A required minimum distribution.
You can get as long as you're still working there, you can contribute to that plan. And you're not required to take required minimum distribution.
And you're not an owner of the corporation, correct?
That's correct.
Yeah. And so I think it's a 5% rule. If you own more than 5% of shares, you're precluded. All right,
so
Harry.
There you go. Good luck. How long do you plan on working, Harry? Till you're how old?
Well, probably sometime to mid 2018.
Oh, so not too far off.
No, yeah, things are changing.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
Yeah,
appreciate the call.
Appreciate the call, Harry.
Let's next go to 1-888-2 Hanson to join us at here at Hanson McLean, and we're gonna go to Art. Art, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hello, thank you.
Hi, Art.
I have a couple of general questions about a universal life insurance policy.
Okay.
And seems that. This particular one was designed to essentially return all of my, or the surrender value would return all of my principal after about 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
But the first question is that it's with a, as I think I understand it, with a private insurance company.
What's the name of the insurance company?
Pardon?
What is the name of the insurance company?
North American Company for Life and Health Insurance.
And so the private is a mutual company, or is it?
Do you mean it's not publicly traded, or it's mutually owned?
I believe it's not publicly traded.
Okay, so it's called North American Private.
So North American Company. That's what.
All right. So what's your question for us?
Well, the question about that is that I. Unlike a publicly traded, I'm not sure I can find out anything about its profitability, its assets.
They're regulated.
Yeah, that's public information. So
there's regulatory bodies that regulate insurance companies. And Moody's
rates it. Yeah, Moody's or AM Best rates it, whether it's public or private, as well as they have to file regulatory filings in the state in which they do business. So are you worried about the solvency of the company, or are you worried about the contract itself?
Well, actually, both.
Okay.
I'm always concerned about, what a company does if they ever become insolvent, but more importantly, also whether their profitability just depends upon the whims of the owner or the whims of the stockholder.
Well, insurance companies are highly regulated, and if you can think back to back in the late '80s, what was that big life insurance company that Michael Milken was involved in? Life First. Oh man!
Maybe 2 minutes.
Yeah, no, I forget about it. So, back in the day, there was a first executive
life. Mr. Big Brain.
Overly invested in high yield bonds. When high yield bonds went through a period of downturn, they became insolvent. Big bailout, and so it was at that time, regulators really stepped up and said, "Look, we're going to put a lot of restrictions on insurance companies on where they can invest." So today, there's tremendous restrictions on a portfolio. It's not just based upon the whims of the directors or the investment management committee or whatever. There's tremendous restrictions on their investment portfolio and what they can invest in. Now, assuming the company you're bringing up is in fact an insurance company, which I believe it is, how long have you owned this policy?
I haven't owned it yet. It's just being pitched to me as...
Good. I'm glad you called. Do you need life insurance?
No.
Do you have children?
Adult children.
Are you married?
Yes.
And if you were no longer here, would your wife be fine without any additional dollars coming in?
Absolutely.
Well, then you don't need life insurance.
In fact,
Forget it.
They don't make good investments if you don't need the life
insurance.
They don't make good investments anyway, but they don't. They really don't make good investments if you don't need the life insurance.
So they're selling it
right.
to
I mean, the reason why we were considering this was it would at least guarantee all of our principal as a death benefit to our heirs, which are our two children.
And you're not buying it for all of your – say that again.
Well, all of the principal would be the death benefit, and in theory, the principal would grow. So at a minimum, all that we invested in this would be returned to our heirs via the death benefit.
Are you putting in a single premium or a paying over time?
Paying over time.
How old are you?
65.
I would not.
Oh, just, yeah. I don't know how you
the
got.
The person who's pitching this to you is an insurance agent.
Yeah, I don't know how you got wrapped up in this, but are you retired?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. This gets worse and worse. You have absolutely no need for life insurance. None. You don't make any more money, right? You could maybe insure against your. Are you getting a pension?
Yes.
Okay.
And if you died, would it continue to your wife?
I'm sorry?
If you died today, would the pension continue to your wife?
Yes.
Well, I don't understand what the life insurance is going to do.
Yeah. How much money do you have in your IRAs or 401ks?
A couple hundred thousand.
And is the home paid for?
Yes.
All right. Well, buy it if you want.
And it's guaranteed, it's guaranteed, the principal is guaranteed a 3% interest rate. And of course, it can.
But what's the cost of insurance? Here's the thing.
I'm sorry?
What's the cost of insurance? And was this pitched?
What's the cost?
Was this pitched to you that the insurance would continue to grow based upon your premiums?
Yes.
Okay. So, and how much insurance are you buying?
$500,000.
Okay. Oh, my God. So, what would happen? The way this is designed, the universal life policies, they can change lots of things inside there. Maybe they can't, they're not going to reduce the interest rate on any money you've got in excess in the policy, but they can certainly change the cost of the insurance. So you're paying for life insurance as a 65-year-old for $500,000. When you're 70, you'll be paying life insurance for a $500,000 life insurance for a 70-year-old. When you're 75, so that gets phenomenally expensive.
So what they're talking about, the lever they are sharing to you is this guaranteed 3%. The lever they can change.
Well, the premium is guaranteed.
So what's that? So
the premium doesn't fluctuate.
No, but the face value of the contract can fluctuate. And
how
the cash value in the contract
will
fluctuate.
How much will this cost you?
Annually, the premium?
Yeah.
$40,000.
Where are you going to get the $40,000?
I have that and more.
For the next 20 years?
Yes.
I don't know why you're buying this thing.
Unless you think you're going to die early. Really early.
Yeah.
You understand how insurance works. The insurance companies collect premiums.
Right.
And they pay out typically 50 cents on every dollar in benefits. The rest goes to overhead. So unless you think your life expectancy is much shorter, which they would have uncovered through medical anyway, and they would have charged you more for that. this makes no sense at all. None. The insurance agent makes a lot of sense for him. I'm sure he's really pushing hard. What kind of a commission do you think this thing pays? $30,000 commission or something to the insurance agent? Maybe more? Huge.
Yeah,
they have a tremendous.
How long is the surrender charge?
There's not going to be any money left.
You mean by the surrender charge?
There's a surrender charge that if you take your money out early, they're going to keep a bunch of it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, the first couple of years, surrender value is
nothing.
Zero.
Negligible.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know how you got wrapped up in this thing. Do yourself a favor. Look, we're a completely disinterested party. You called for our advice. We've been managing money for a long time. We manage over $2.4 billion as a firm. We see it all. We hear the stories about why they're supposed to work, but we see the wreckage after.
It's not going to work for you.
It won't work.
$40,000 a year, you have $200,000 in your 401k.
And you apparently have lots of other money. It will not work. It will not end good. It will end very, very badly.
Stay away from it. Why would you do this to yourself? I have no idea.
Don't do it, Art. Run from the run.
Run.
No matter how nice the person is.
And actually, and if
maybe
he
you don't, you know, here's what I find oftentimes.
Wait, he could call me. I don't want him calling me.
These insurance agents, oftentimes, they know what they know.
That's right.
Right?
If all you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail.
You work for an insurance company. They get all the people from the insurance home office giving you these classes on how great these products work and how wonderful the tool works for this and how wonderful the tool works for this. But oftentimes, they haven't been exposed to all the other tools that exist in the marketplace.
I worked for a life insurance company for 2.5 years.
You know.
I understand.
How they work.
I get it. I understand.
Yeah, so anyway,
appreciate the call. Good luck.
1-888-2-HANSON to be part of Hanson McLean's Money Matters. 1-888-2-HANSON.
Holy smokes.
Seen it all.
That's a big one, too. $40,000 a year for probably a 10-year.
Can you imagine they going back to the life insurance agency, slapping high fives?
It's probably a 10-year pay.
Oh, my God!
At least a 10-year pay.
To join us at Hanson McLean's Money Matters, simply call 1-888-2-HANSON to be part of the program. What's 1-888-2-HANSON? And we'll continue on with calls here with Anna. Anna, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hello. How are you?
We're wonderful. Hi, Anna.
Hi, I have a question about, we have a mortgage and we just refinanced to a 15-year mortgage versus a 30-year.
Mm-hmm.
My question is it better to, I've heard different opinions on, it's better to pay off the primary mortgage faster and so you'll be kind of debt-free, or I've heard another version where you want to hold on as much as possible so you can have more write-offs.
Okay,
right. As you go. So my question is, what is your opinion on that?
That's good. What's our opinion?
It depends. Tell us how old you are.
I am 40.
And are you married?
Yes.
And your spouse is of similar age?
Yes, he's 44.
And how much are you saving for retirement now?
Not much. We have a 401. I have 401k, and I usually max out that, which is $18,000 a year.
You just said not much. That's a lot. That's hilarious.
We're not doing anything extra besides the 401k.
And does your spouse put money in their 401k or retirement plan?
No, he works for himself, so he doesn't have that option. So that's our only.
He actually does. He just needs to.
What's the family income on an annual basis? Your salary and his net income from his business.
So it's about $200,000.
And any children at home?
We have four.
Four kids.
Are you saving any money for their college expenses or?
Not really. They're in private school, so it's a lot of money.
Oh, got it already.
That way it won't become quite as much of a shock when
I've talked to some people who spend as much for private high school as college.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So you have a 15-year fixed rate mortgage. I don't even know if I would have recommended a 15-year fixed rate mortgage, actually, in your situation.
Because the flexibility a 30-year would provide?
Yeah, and then all you do is just decide.
You want to make extra.
So look, are you asking, should you make extra payments on this 15-year?
Yeah, is the goal.
No, absolutely not.
Okay, so just go with the flow and just do the
If you were 60, would say, let's get this thing paid off. So our opinion, here's our opinion. You asked what our opinion is. Our opinion is to work in such a manner so that you hit your time at retirement age, whether it means you're going to retirement age, with your home paid off.
And your husband will be 59 when that happens. How old's your youngest child?
He's 8.
8. So your youngest child will be 23 and, God willing, out of the house, right?
Hopefully.
Yeah, I wouldn't make a. What's the interest rate? Less than around 4%?
I think it's 3 something.
Yeah, I wouldn't make an extra payment at all. Not at all.
And does your husband have any employees?
No, he's self-employed and he does just he has a small business. So
right, so he can contribute to a SEP IRA or even a solo K.
A solo K, and he should. assuming he's got taxable income.
You'd be
income.
Much better off doing that than you would be putting more against your mortgage,
yes.
In my opinion.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
You want to set up a solo K or a SEP.
We have IRA, but it's we have a there's two types of IRA, right? Roth IRA and there's a other IRA.
Mm-hmm.
So would you recommend to put? Well, I think I don't know if we're allowed to put anything in IRA.
You're precluded from a tax deduction on an IRA, and you're precluded from a Roth IRA. But you're not precluded from a Roth 401k if you have that through work, or if your husband do a Roth. But given the fact you've got $200,000 of gross income, you're probably in a higher tax bracket.
We got, yeah.
In California, I would use the traditional.
Yeah. And I would do it through my, I would do it, how much is of his, how much does his net income approximately of this $200,000, how much does he make?
Not much, like maybe 50.
Yeah, but still you can
I would do it. Yeah, I would do
you
it.
You could do SEP IRA.
SEP IRA. And start putting money okay. in there. You can put $7,500 a year in.
Yeah, if you want to save any more, I'd rather you do that than pay it on your, down your
yeah,
mortgage.
Yeah, don't pay down the mortgage at all.
Yeah, I wouldn't bother.
Okay. No.
All righty.
Okay.
All right.
Sounds
appreciate
good.
The call.
You
You're
so
on the
much.
Right track, Annie. You guys are doing great.
Oh, and four kids. And how old's the oldest? Youngest is eight?
16.
Very nice. Mm. Very. So I have four children. I have four children. My youngest is now 17.
Okay.
And three in college. In fact, one just graduated from college. It's hard to believe.
That's congratulations.
Well, thank
That's
you.
A big
Thank you. I don't know if I'm happier about it or he's happier about it. I'm not quite sure who's happier.
Appreciate the call, Anna. Yeah, appreciate the call.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
wish you well.
You. Bye-bye.
We are, again, running out of time. You can listen to this show on podcast. We have many listeners that do. HansonMcLean.com will show you how to subscribe if you don't subscribe through your normal channel.
And we also have our 7 Personal Decision Points live workshops coming up. Last year, over 4,000 people registered for these events. They run about 75 minutes long. We have them in Sacramento region the week of January 22nd and the Denver region week of January 29th.
And the Bay Area also the week of January 29th. And so if you are within a couple years of retirement, people tend to put this stuff off. If you're getting close to retirement within a year or two, it really makes it be worth your while to come to one of these workshops. Go to HansonMcLean.com. You'll get all the information and to register. You do need to register if you want to go, but I think you'd be pleased. You have they, people who've gone have said they're glad they went.
Yes.
So we're out of time. We'll join you next week. You've been listening to Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
This program has been brought to you by Hanson McLean Advisors, a registered investment advisory firm. Any ideas presented during this program are not intended to provide specific financial advice, and you should consult your own financial advisor, tax consultant, or estate planning attorney to conduct your own due diligence.